Good morning, Poplar Springs. That was sad. Good morning. That was a little better. We'll take it. At home, I hope you said good morning really loud. We have several announcements for you guys today. The first is that today is World Communion, and we are celebrating communion. If you walked in through the door, hopefully one of our deacons handed you a special little prepackaged, your own communion wafer and your own little cup of juice. If you did not get one of those, if you'll just raise your hand right now, and we've got some in the back corner. Jimmy on the other side, if you'll just raise your hand, they'll get that to you and you can hang on to it until it's time for communion in our service today. If you're at home, we encourage you to find something and have communion with us. That will be after the sermon. I know it just now, the month just now changed and it's only October, but Christmas shoeboxes usually get picked up in November, and the church has purchased 40 of these plastic shoeboxes, so if you plan to fill a shoebox and you want a free one, you're more than welcome to come up front. If you're not here today, you can come by the church this week and we'd be happy to walk you down here and grab a shoebox for you. Our first flu clinic is tomorrow. That's Monday, October 5th, and that's from 4 to 6, and it is a drive-through flu clinic. So what you'll do is you'll come down to the Family Life Center, and you'll drive through that little overhang outside the main doors. You need your driver's license, you need your insurance card, and please wear a mask. And Tina Wesson will come out and give you a vaccine right through your window. We are in need, as of this week, of a newsletter volunteer, and we've been super grateful to Jody Blanton and Jesse Listow. They have both served in that position over the last year, but they both have had job changes, and so we need a volunteer. And that's really only about an hour and a half a week, and I can teach you what to do, and Vicki helps out in the office. But if you would be interested in showing up, whatever day is good for you, we will take it. But if you can just let a staff member know or call the office and let them know. And at this moment, I'll recognize Clyde Buckner. He's got an update on our new vehicle.
How many of you were here a couple of weeks ago when we had a couple of vans parked out front to take a look? Which one's this? The good one, yeah. This is the one that 99% of you said, this is the one we want. It was the white one. There was a white one and a black one. This was the one that had the big doors that were easy to get in, wide seats, and the luggage compartment at the back. I'm a very good artist, but what's wrong with my picture? It ain't all there. That's exactly right. This is a little visual that's going to put it back in the vestibule so you can keep track with what we're doing. Remember when we did this, we said we have about half the amount of money for a brand new van on hand already. So when I started the poster, I took half of it, and there it was. We've got half of it already out there. The fundraising campaign that we agreed to go into was to raise, the other half. And we're doing quite well. We're about $10,000 into that now, or maybe a little bit more now. So I divided this up into a grid. We needed about $30,000. There are 30 little grids on this half over here, and you can see it when you get back out there. Every time we reach another $1,000, I paint you in another grid. So you can watch and see how we're doing it. How do you suppose we're going to do that? Come on, it ain't hard. We're all going to give a little bit of money to make it happen. It's everybody doing a little bit. And I would encourage Cam and Landon and all these kids back here, everybody, find a little bit of money at home and bring it along with what your parents are going to bring along so that you have a piece of the van also. Because guess what? You won't be quite as old as me, but you'll be as old as your mamas and daddies when we're still using this van. Life of a vehicle like this is about 25 or 30 years. The one that is absolutely worn out is a 1996 van. How old is that? 24 years old. Has almost 100,000 miles on it. We don't wear them out with miles. So it'll serve us for a long, 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 long time. So let's all get busy and put this other little... We're a third of the way of our part, and we've already got a half. So let's do this other two-thirds. We've set our goal to try to have this $30,000 in by the end of this month. So let's all work together and get this thing going and track it every time you come in. In fact, I'm going to put it back in the vestibule. this morning so you can see how we're doing. And then after church sometime, I'm going to move it over to the office complex, so as folks come in during the week, you can see how we're coming along. Every time we get another $1,000, we'll paint in one more of these grids. Let's drive this thing. Thank you much.
Thank you, Clyde. And if you need convincing while we need a new van, I've got some really good stories about our old van. You just let me know. Two more announcements for you. Adult Bible study will meet 6 o'clock this Wednesday in the sanctuary. And then a note about deacon ordination. We have 6 new deacons to ordain. It's going to be a great Sunday next Sunday, but we have to do things a little differently because, as you know, on a normal deacon ordination Sunday, we have everyone come to the front and we walk by and we put our hands on them and we whisper into their ears, which would be bad news for us. So what we're going to ask everyone to do is to write notes of encouragement and prayers of affirmation for our new deacons. We'll send out a message with all of their names, but that'll be something we encourage all of you to do this week, because so many people can come up and whisper words of affirmation to you. If you've been a deacon, you know how precious a moment that is and how encouraging it is, and so we want to still be able to encourage all of our new deacons, even though it's different. So this can be on notebook paper. It could be on a card you pick up at CVS, but we'll put those names out in a message, and if you would find the time to write some cards, and then all you have to do is bring them to church. And if you aren't planning to be in worship, you can drop those off by the church office, but we will present those to our deacons next Sunday. And one other note about that, we will mark off a few extra pews so that the families of those being ordained have a place to sit. So just come early and find your spot. And with all those announcements noted, let's turn our hearts to worship.
Morning. During this time of prayer, there are a few people that I want to mention. Melissa Edmondson, Wilbur and Shirley McBride, Jack Ware, Brett Elliott, Jolene Litton. I also want to think about praying for Eleonora Eskridge. Thank you. She is currently in the hospital right now, so you definitely want to be sure to pray for her. And we also want to be with Marcus and Brittany McGill. Their son, unfortunately, died. Marcus is the pastor over at Rose Grove Baptist Church, so we definitely want to keep them in our prayers. I also want to remind you to look at the newsletter for the prayer list that is in there. At this time, would you please join me in prayer? God, we just come to you today as a church. We know that there are many of those who have been named, even more of those who have not been named, that hold a place in our hearts, and those who may have things that are going on. There are even those who are struggling with things that maybe we don't see. But we know that you are there with us. You are the God who is there with us on those mountaintops that we have, yet you are also the God who is there with us in the deep valleys and the darkness that we often feel. You are the God who stands by us, and you bring us comfort. You bring us a peace that cannot be explained. And even in the times when it may feel as though you are not right there with us, we know that you still are. And we ask that you will be with us, that you will comfort us in the darkness that we sometimes feel, and that you will watch over us and all that we have going on. And I just ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you today. Micah is our intern here this for the semester, and he's doing a great job. I've introduced him a couple of times this week to folks, and they say, "Well, yeah, I saw you on TV." So he's a celebrity. So we've given out glossies with autographs soon. So y'all come see us. Y'all switch places a little bit. The coach's corner is still intact over there, but Bob and Sharon, y'all are supposed to be over there. Do what? Okay. All right. Everybody's in the right place, but I think we're okay. All right. So we're okay. Andrew, you're okay. All right. Well, it's good to see everybody. Let's go ahead and we're all here. Let's look at our scripture. And today's an amazing passage of scripture. It's one I love to read because it's just so good. And it's talking about the grace of God. And I know we've talked a lot about grace. And Paul talks a lot about that in Romans. He makes sure we understand grace and forgiveness. And he's going to get to some of the requirements a little later on, that there are some requirements. I mean, grace is free, but we also have the responsibility to live like the Christians we profess to be. So he'll talk about that later, but it's good that we get settled there, that God is a graceful God, and he loves us, and he forgives us. And we, in turn, can be graceful to other people and forgiving to other people. So the scripture I'm reading is Romans 5, 6 through 8. I've probably shared this scripture with you in passing in some of our other sermons, but it's a great passage and you need to hear it. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's amazing. And I hope it sticks with us a little bit. Let's pray together. God, your grace is indeed amazing. It's not just a song. It's something that we need to realize in our lives, that we need to internalize and accept your wonderful grace. And I pray, God, as we remember that grace today during our time of communion, we'll take the time to look at our own lives. Are we a graceful people, a people who are forgiving, and a people who are understanding, and a people who accept and help others, and we make a difference? I pray, God, you'll bless us as we go through our service today. Thank you for the worship we've already had. I pray that you'll continue to be with us in our worship. Father, we acknowledge you here today with us today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Today is going to be a rather unusual communion. It's going to be kind of different. I probably need to tell you, now there's two tabs on those little cups. The first one is the bread, and then there's another one. You might have juice on you if you open both of them, so be careful. But usually I say, and Jesus said, take this bread and eat it. Take this bread. It's simple. And I say, take this juice and drink it. But today, this is 2020. So in a few minutes I will say, as he speaks to us today, take the self-contained cracker and juiced kid. I just can't hear Jesus saying that, but you know. And he said, remove the thin wrapper at the top of your cup. Take the bread and eat it, remembering his body broken for you. And then he said, take the cup that remains and remove the covering and drink the juice, remembering his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. It's kind of strange. It's kind of different. There are other adaptations that are rather unusual for us today as well. We're asking those at home to join us for communion, to join us, because this is World Communion Sunday. It's World Communion Sunday. We're celebrating or remembering Jesus Christ in communion today with churches around the world. And we're asking folks at home to be a part of this as well. We're asking you at home, find crackers or bread in your respective homes. And find juice. If you don't have juice, use water. Jesus is the living water. Find water. Find Kool-Aid. It's okay. Find some juice. Find something. And then find some crackers or bread. And join us today. And be a part of this communion in just a few minutes. The pandemic has placed us in an unusual situation. Doing what seems unthinkable in years past. Unthinkable. We wouldn't think about something like this. It's now the order of the day. It's different. This plays right into my message today. It plays right into my message because I'm talking about remembering this morning an unusual, even absurd act of grace. It's unheard of. It's incomprehensible to many who believe in payback and punishment. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Let's go get them. It's a passage about amazing grace and forgiveness bestowed on us in the life and work of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. It's amazing. So today, an absurd communion commemorating an unbelievable act of grace. That's what we're doing. Paul emphasizes grace quite a bit in the opening chapters to the point that some may think that faith does not involve a lot of work. You just have faith and you're good to go. The Corinthians thought that. You know, they're pre-forgiven for sin, so just go ahead and sin because God is so forgiving. But faith does involve some work. And the faith that we have has requirements. They're not just suggestions. There are some requirements. We'll continue in our study of Romans after Christmas. And it could be interesting after Christmas. I'll have surgery in November. So after Christmas, I could be a different person. I may not be moving my head all the time, looking like a bobblehead doll. You never can tell. But we'll talk about some of the requirements and expectations of one who follows Christ. We're going to look at that and think about that. But for now, we're talking about grace. The fact is that though grace is free, there are expectations of the believer to practice obedience. To practice obedience to God, to be a positive example how Jesus changes the mindset, the actions and attitudes of the Christian, how he changes us. People need to see that change in our lives. Not that we say, hey, look at me, look what I've done, look what I'm doing, look how I'm changing, but that we be a different people. There's the expectation that we live a life with Jesus as our model. A couple of years ago, there were these bracelets, and it became cliche because it just became a style thing. What would Jesus do? Read the Gospels. Let's live and do what Jesus would do and make this world a different place. What would Jesus do? Putting our faith into action because, as James said in his letter, faith without works is dead. Let's have a living faith that lives in the world. We first need to know that grace and forgiveness of God is not only amazing, it's unfathomable. It's unfathomable. We can't understand it. We were in a helpless situation, enslaved to sin, and not really wanting to be released. We're happy being that way. People in that day were that way, and we are that way today. We have our favorite sins. I don't want to give them up. Life's good. Enslaved, not really wanting to be released. We are people satisfied with a self-centered life many times. I've got my things, and I'm happy, I'm comfortable. Let's live that way. Comfortable in our sinful state and happy with our personal favorite sins. For people like this, like us, Christ died. Christ died for us. He put his life on the line and gave it for us. It's important to remember that. The whole concept is foreign and absurd to the human mind. Paul acknowledges that. Paul wrote, it would be hard to give our lives for a good person. But most of us would certainly not dare die for one who spits in our face, who says, I'm not going to change. At the right time, the point of our desperate need, at the right time, at just the right time, in the nick of time, a time when we did not care, when we were satisfied, Christ died for us. Verse 8, this is the love of God. It's a love that does what no human would ever consider, or most humans. The cross signifies a love and goodness beyond all human standards. Beyond all human standards. He's dying for us when we did not care. We catch a glimpse of God's love for us there. His tremendous love for us. Can you get that through your mind? The tremendous love of him. We get into the mystery of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as we look at this, at this point. As we look at it. The three in one. God came to earth and experienced death, essentially dying for us. God came to earth. That's love. We're made right with God. We're squared up with God. We're okay with God. We're reconciled with our Maker. And the problem is dealt with. And we're free. We're a free people. Go out and live it. Don't be a cautious Christian saying I may do something wrong. Go out and live the life. And let Jesus be seen in your life and the love that you have for others. We're free. We want to take the time today to remember this tremendous unselfish act of grace and forgiveness. A tremendous act. As I said before, we'll be observing an absurd, unbelievable communion. Many of you are at home and are using sterile, we're using sterile self-contained communion kit. It's different. We're using that. And it's World Communion Sunday, at a time when we're unable to commune with fellow believers in the church, much less around the world. We're distant from each other. We don't get to be around people, and I miss being around people. I miss it. And we're asking you at home to secure your own bread and juice and join us. Communion is a time of remembrance, remembering what Jesus did for us, and a time of examination. Look inside. What's in there? Is there hatred? Is there unforgiveness? Is there an attitude problem? Is there someone you need to make it right with? Can you do that today? Do you need to do that today? A time of remembrance and examination. As we observe the Lord's Supper, we'll be reminded of these tremendous words pertaining to the love God has for us. Jesus, Almighty God in the flesh, going to the cross, not to appease an angry God, but giving of himself to pay the penalty for our sin. And he did that out of love. He did it out of love. Romans 5, 6 through 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In a moment, we'll be observing communion. Take the time to remember, Jesus died for you and he died for me. He died for us. Never forget that. He rose from the dead, victory coming out of what looked like certain defeat. Look within. Are you living worthy of the sacrifice? There's a powerful scene in Saving Private Ryan, a movie I've seen a number of times. It's not necessarily the feel-good movie of that year. It was kind of a difficult movie to watch. It was a lengthy movie, but it was a good movie. And it talks about, it has to deal with sacrifice. And the title gives it away. A group of soldiers were to go and save Private Ryan. They had a job to do to get to Private Ryan. The noble captain, played by Tom Hanks, is dying, having been being mortally wounded, saving Private Ryan. He pulls the shell-shocked private close to him and with his last dying breath says these words, earn this. And that's the only movie where I went to where I started crying during the credits. But when he said, earn this, he died for him. He said, earn this. I've given my life for you. Don't let it be for nothing. Don't let it be for nothing. Christ gave his life for us. He gave his life for us. Don't let it be for nothing. Let it change you. Let it make you a different person. Let him live in you. We're going to have a song. And then we're going to have our time of communion. Take this time as we listen to the music and as we worship together to look inside and remember what Christ did for you. And then feel free to join us at home as well. Let's pray. God, sometimes we sing Amazing Grace and we just say, well, will we ever get through all those big verses, all those stanzas? It seems lengthy, but Father, we can't sing about grace enough. It's so important to remember in the life of the Christian. Grace and mercy and forgiveness. While we didn't deserve it, you gave it to us. Father, we are Christians. We're believers. And we need to share that grace with the world around us. As we too are a forgiving people and a merciful people. As we listen to those around us. As we share with them the great and wonderful news that Christ forgives us. God forgives us. We're right with him because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Let it change our lives. And Father, as we go through this service, I pray that if we make a commitment, that we'll let somebody know about it. Let someone, maybe someone on the staff or someone, a friend or a teacher or a leader in the church, tell them you want to become a Christian if that be the case. And let's get that done. Maybe you're saying, I want to change my life a little bit. I'm already a Christian, but I'm just not living the graceful life, the Christ-like life. God, I pray that we'll talk to someone and say, I'm making a difference. I'm going to change my life. Or perhaps someone's saying, I want to be a part of this congregation. I want to be a member of this congregation. I want this to be my workstation where I work to go out into the world and be prepared to share the gospel. But Father, we know that you know our hearts and you know our minds. And I pray that you'll speak to us right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
This is the body that was torn for us. This is the blood that was spilled. Points to the pain you endured for us. Points to the shame, the blame, the guilt. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come, move our hearts to remember. This is the Lamb who was slain for us, so we, the church, may enter. Think of you, the one who bore our curse, our sin. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come, move our hearts to remember. to remember.
As we remember this morning, I'll be reading from Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." The cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in the Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Will you pray with me? Father, it's a different communion with the same Savior. Probably kind of awkward for us as we hear the sounds of peeling plastic. But Father, we want to hear the sounds of a forgiving Savior. Help us to hear that. And a loving Savior who changes our lives. As we remember the wonderful act of sacrifice on our behalf, change us, use us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Indeed, it has been a little bit of a different communion, but just like I'm thankful for our AV and those who can provide us a way to watch church from home, I'm thankful for little cups and wafers that may not taste the same, juice that may not drink the same, but it's a way for us to still commune together, and I'm thankful for that. This week, as you are going about your week, I hope you'll remember the students and the staff of Crest High School. As they've been thrown into 2 weeks of uncertainty for them, so if you'll be praying for them this week. Also, if you have any concerns this week, Joey Bridges is our Deacon of the Week, and he'll be happy to assist you if you need any help, or you can call the staff. Want to remind you once again, as Nicole mentioned during her announcements, that next Sunday is our deacon ordination. We are very excited about ordaining 6 new deacons. We hope that you'll be able to join us for that, and we hope that you will take time this week to write notes of encouragement. It's okay if you don't necessarily know these deacons very well. It doesn't take knowing them well to offer them some prayers of encouragement and affirmation for the tasks that they have agreed to take on for the next 3 years. So we hope that you'll do that in the coming week. A lot of times on our World Communion Sundays, I like to end the service with us holding hands, and unfortunately we can't do anything like that right now, but I want you to just look at the pews near you. Turn around, see who's near you. Notice who's sitting around you. As we pray to end our service today, and as you go throughout the week, I hope you will take note of who's sitting around you, and that you'll be thinking about them and lifting them up in prayer this week. You may not know what they're facing, and you may not even know them very well, but if you'll just remember them and be praying that they have a week that's filled with the presence of God, and that it'll be a way for us to continue to be with each other and to be the church even when we're not together. So would you pray with me as we end our service? God, we're so thankful for the chance to be together. And God, even though the things that we do together, even though they don't look like normal, they're a little different, God, and maybe even a little strange, but God, just the simple fact that we're able to still have communion together, still worship together, is a blessing, and one, God, that I hope we don't take for granted. God, we pray for our church and for our community as we go throughout this coming week, God. And we pray for our deacons, Lord, as we look towards the next week for their ordination. God, we thank you for those who have agreed to serve for the next 3 years. And we pray your blessings over them. And we pray your blessings over our worship for next Sunday. God, go with us throughout this week. And God, may this communion Sunday be not just this hour that we've spent together, God, but may we be reminded for the rest of the week of your grace and your mercy that you showed us through your Son, Jesus. It's in Christ and we pray. Amen. Have a great Sunday.